Hi, everybody. I'm Bill Whittle here with my friend Alfonso Rachel, and this is the Virtue Signal, where we talk about some of the morality and the philosophy behind the politics of the day. And here's one we can make nice and topical. as we record this, there's a bill that's been introduced to add seats to the Supreme Court. I think they're talking about adding 4 seats to the Supreme Court. That's packing the court. And I'm not so much concerned about the details of that. That's for us to talk about someplace else. But what I do want to talk about today is beating cheating, because that's what this is, right? When I was coming and thinking about this, I forget the details. So for those of you who are big sports fans, forgive me, but something like this happened. I want to say it was the 1972 Olympics, and the U.S. team was playing the Soviets for the gold. And very close game, and I think the U.S. was down by – the U.S. was up, rather, by 1 or 2 points, something like that. Mm. So the Soviet guy takes a last shot at the bucket. Brr, buzzer goes off. America wins. Mm. Wait a minute. Some Eastern Bloc referee says that there's been a foul that nobody saw. Let's put a few seconds back on the clock. So they put a few seconds back on the clock. The Soviets bring the ball in again. Bump, bump, bump. Shoot. Miss. Hooray. U.S. wins again. Mm. No, there's another foul that nobody saw. So we're going to put more time on the clock. This time, the Soviets bring it in. They sink the basket, and they win by 1 point or something like that. In other words, we're going to allow the Soviets to keep shooting until they win the game. and if that means changing the rules, then that's what we're going to do. And the second that that has happened, once the win is ours, then that's the end of the game. That's what happened with the election in 2000, where George Bush won the Florida recount, won the Florida count, the mechanical count. It was close, but he won it. Mm-hmm. It was close enough so that the law, you remember the law, don't you? The law said that you could get a second count, a recount, if it was within a certain margin, and it was, which was a mechanical recount. And Bush won that too. And then the left basically started saying, well, what about all the people who intended to vote for Al Gore and accidentally voted for George Bush? And we got into the whole hanging chads thing. And that's when the country went off the rails. So all of that just to set up the idea of from a philosophical point of view, not specifically dealing with the court. First of all, how do you personally get over the blinding rage that I feel whenever I see anybody trying to change the rules after they lose, which we saw a lot of in the election? And secondly, what do we do? How do we beat cheaters? How do people who play by the rules hope to compete against people who not only don't play by the rules, but have contempt for the rules?
Man, we don't even have to look at a game between hockey we were talking about. I don't follow hockey that much.
You know, it's basketball, actually.
It's a basketball. Okay. Shows how much I pay attention. But anyway,
it was 72. You weren't even here then. I don't think.
I just barely got in to catch some disco, man. I was just barely here. But
poor boy. I'm sorry to hear that.
Respect the disco, man.
Sure.
But anyway. Hey, I've seen some pictures of you in the early 80s, man. I know that you were down with this. But at any rate, man, I mean, all that to say, when does this game idea stop? Because we were doing this when we were kids, man. You know, it's like, my body was coated with, you know, some sort of armor that you made up out of like Star Trek or something like that to make sure that you didn't lose the game and that you get to take some sort of mulligan on this or whatnot. And man, it's this imagination land, or this pursuit of satisfaction that these liberals or progressives or leftists or whatever people want to call them, that they're always in pursuit of. And the funny thing is that they're always calling us conspiracy theories and making up things or trying to ridicule us when we call them out on things like this or make suggestions about things that could work. And if they didn't think of it, then they just think it's ridiculous. Like an example of we're gonna take on this COVID thing, and Trump says, how about that disinfectant that we can inject? They took that and ran with it and made it out to be Trump is talking about people injecting themselves with bleach. It's like, no, man, it's an injection that introduces the virus in the bloodstream to ultraviolet light. Oh, that's science. I thought you guys would like stuff like that. Or when they're talking about Trump is ridiculous because he's suggesting that, hey, man, they're out there throwing cans of soup at people and telling people that they're just getting soup for their family. Oh, he's being ridiculous. It turns out that's exactly what they were doing, and they were caught doing it. And now when Trump is saying, dude, when they get in, they're going to pack the courts. All right. Oh no, he's being ridiculous.
Oh, no, it's insane. It's insane conspiracy theory.
You know, you see the pattern here, right? So that's exactly what they did. And see, but we always knew this, Bill, because we know that in their fascist manner, they're trying to bully people in the culture, beat them over the head, man, to get them to give power to the state to facilitate whatever it is that they want. And if they can't do it by the ballot, they're going to try to do it by judicial activism or some sort of judicial fiat. And that's what they're doing right now. And they want to pack the courts like this. And, you know, it's like, you guys really don't seem to understand. And for some reason, how is it that the Supreme Court, that's their target? That's their target.
Well, they govern through the Supreme Court.
Right.
If they don't have the Supreme Court, they have no power at all.
Right.
Because nobody wants their legislation. Mm. All they can do is overturn reasonable legislation in the courts and use the courts to legislate their crazy agenda on people.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. And that's a really strange thing. And the funny thing is that, you know, in the Constitution, you know, these people are, they're lifers in the Supreme Court. And the only thing that can get them out is bad behavior. However, that's, and don't get me wrong, I mean, I'm pretty sure it's in there for a reason, and we understand why it's there and what can be defined as bad behavior. But I think, you know, in terms of bad behavior, you need a president also who understands bad behavior and what bad law is. And as the chief law enforcement officer of the United States, he should be like, hey, this is against the law, what you guys are trying to do. You're trying to make a judicial opinion and bolster it by more people that are going to have this opinion of what this law, on how to interpret the law, and we all have to be subject to that. This is wrong. This is illegal. But unfortunately, we have a president in there. And unfortunately, Trump should have said, and just really quick, Bill, because speaking of cheaters, it's not just about dealing with the cheaters of the world. We're talking about the cheaters in our own country. One would have to, and this is going to be a very contentious question. It's like, in this sense, hey, Trump, did you really win? Of course, we know that you won. But the thing is, your job is supposed to be able to catch the cheaters, drain the swamp. Yeah. Did you think they were just going to let you do that? Did you think you wouldn't have some opposition? And yes, in this sense, the cheaters did gain this victory. They did gain the White House. Dishonestly, for sure. But hey, Trump, you're the chief law enforcement officer. What happened?
Now we're at the root of the problem. Because Joe Biden is not only opposed to this, he's obviously in favor of it to the degree that, you know, somebody tells him to be in favor of it. But we're really on it. Now, by the way, just parenthetically, everything that the left accused Donald Trump of and Trump supporters of as being weird conspiracy theories has turned out to be true.
Yeah.
Every few weeks we find out, oh, Michigan said no, there were serious voting irregularities. In Pennsylvania, a couple weeks ago, there were serious voting irregularities. Nevada, just 3 or 4 days, there were serious voting irregularities. Okay, now that the election's safely over. But here's the problem. And the problem that we have now in America is the exact same problem that the United States faced in that basketball game I was telling you about. The problem is that when you've got rules and you've got somebody cheating, you have a referee.
Mm-hmm.
But if the referee is cheating, what do you do? And that's exactly what happened in that basketball game. And that's exactly what's happening now. If you want to say that the referee is the free press, back when we had a free press, the free press wouldn't allow this kind of thing to happen. But the press, the referees are cheating. They're in on the scam. How do we deal with something like that? I mean, if your strategy for gaining power is to destroy the institutions that balance power, and that's in a nutshell exactly what they're doing. They don't want balance of power. They don't want diverse power. They don't want diffused power. They want power.
Yes.
And so if you're willing to destroy the institutions of the country in order to do that, how do people who love and respect those institutions fight back? You can't. I don't know how. I'm not saying it's hopeless. I am saying it bears a discussion. How do you fight back against cheaters when the referee is cheating too?
Man, okay. When we have these people who want, and what we got to ask, what do they want the power for? And people want power for different things, and they want to be able to have a platform of power, whether it's in education, whether it's in entertainment, whether it's in politics, whether it's in the judicial system. You have these people that want power. Do they really want justice? Do they really want to uphold the law? What do you want this power for? And it's like I constantly repeat, it's not power that corrupts, it's weakness does, because these people want power to be able to justify their weaker selves. Right. There are things that there's these inclinations. There's a miswiring, you know.
That's right. Nobody wants what they're selling.
Right. Right.
If they did, they wouldn't have to cheat.
Sure. Sure. And they wouldn't have to make it to where the state is trying to heavy hand it on us and stuff like that. Or just not only cheat, but just I'm talking, you know, just polish this garbage, man. I'm talking well-produced, beautifully presented garbage that they're constantly selling on us. And so, you know, but for what? And from there, Bill, we're not dealing with reason anymore. We're dealing with desires, and we're dealing with the imaginations, and that's a whole different thing to try to appeal to. We're reasoning these things out.
Yeah, you can't reason with these people. They know exactly right. What they're doing. It's not like they're unaware of it.
Yes, yes, and that's why the word of God calls it, "Don't cast your pearls before pigs," and meaning that we have these pearls of reason. We have these pearls of wisdom. We have the time, the experience, the wisdom, whatnot. But when you try to dispense these things upon people who don't really understand that, you have to take a different approach. And the Word of God tells us to do that. You have to examine what the children of the age are doing. What are these things that they're giving over to? And what tools are they using to sell it? So from there, and it's also a point of being careful to say that, okay, this is wrong, and being able to come up with, and we're not going to reach everybody, Bill. It's not everybody's going to get it. Basically, what we're trying to do is we're just trying to preserve something that's gonna collapse in it. That's just the law of nature, man. Everything has a shelf life. But we're just trying to maintain. We're trying to preserve. But you have a lot of folks out there. They have a miswiring of what works in the natural, a miswiring of the balance of liberty, what's really fair, because these people are trying to pursue fairness by being unfair to people, right? If we're talking about this judicial stacking, this—
Fairness is a fig leaf for what they want. It's,
right.
It's not about justice or fairness.
It's not, but you know, let them tell it. They've convinced themselves, and in their imagination, it is. And how deep does that go to where we can say, you know, deep down, you know, this is wrong? Because when it gets into that, it's like, look, man, what you're doing is evil. But even the most evil people think that their sins are justified. It doesn't matter what it is. When a person commits rape, they've justified it to themselves. She wanted it. She deserved it, or whichever, right? She was asking for it. Murder, theft, covetousness, you name it. Yep. All sins are justified to the perpetrator. So, in that sense, it's the exercise of, and not only that, Bill, really quick, it's how fast you can get to them to be able to run interference on that influence. This is why the devil is introduced to us as a snake, because a snake strikes quickly. Day one, the first day that they were created. Hey, here I am. Hey, Eve, what's up? Let me holler at you really quick, right? And so he moved with the slithering stealth and velocity of a snake. Yeah. And that is how the leftists do. They get their influence in quickly. We have to be just as quick.
Yeah. And the thing about a snake is, obviously, you mentioned stealth. It's not just that it strikes quickly. It's that it strikes quickly from the bushes. You don't see it. It's out of sight. It just, you're walking along a path and boom, you're hit. You know, it's the challenge of this year and of the next indefinite number of months is how to face these things fully on without, you know, resorting to despair or just saying there's no way to win. So if I were looking at the situation of how to beat people who cheat, especially if the referees are on their side, I'm going to go back to that basketball game again for an analogy. And the analogy in this case would be twofold. And none of it's fair. It's just this is what has to happen. In an ideal world, you'd have a fair referee and the U.S. won that game without question, but we don't have a fair referee and we don't have and our opponents are not above cheating. So let's go back to that basketball game. The two ways that could have been avoided, either one of these would work, both of them together infallible. The first way that the United States could have avoided being cheated out of that gold medal would have been if they'd been up by 15 points in the final minute. There are some leads that are not that cannot be cheated out of. If the United States had had a bigger lead at that time, an insurmountable lead, 10, 15 point lead, there's no way that they could have gotten away with it. And I think it's the same thing with the 2020 election. But in any event, an insurmountable lead is one way to make sure that the cheating that does happen doesn't cost you the game. Is it fair? No. Essentially what that means is, if we want to drive this basketball analogy into the ground, what that essentially means is that the opening tip-off, one team starts out with negative 15 points, negative 20 points. You got to score 20 points to get to zero. Is that fair? No, but that is a reality. That's a real way to stop this kind of cheating, using that as an example and using it in terms of voting in the Supreme Court and Congress and all the rest. You have to have enough of a lead, enough of a win, so that they cannot cheat their way out of it. And the second thing that I think we're terribly bad at is you cannot allow your opponents to pick the referee. Mm. I mean, that's just that simple. The one thing I do remember about that referee in this case, and I may even have the year completely wrong, but I got the basics of it right. The one thing I remember about this was that this referee was either an East German or Bulgarian or something like that. And he was clearly acting on orders from the people who wanted the Soviet team to win and who had power over him. We don't just do this in politics. I don't know how many times I'm going to have to watch a presidential debate be moderated by somebody who is an active enemy of the Republican. I've seen it, what, 5 election cycles now that I've been paying attention, 5 or 6? We see Democrats and Republicans debating in a fair and even debate moderated by George Stephanopoulos, let's say, who ran the Bill Clinton campaign and who's perfectly impartial and has no bias whatsoever. That one, you have to blame yourself for. The business about starting 15 points in the hole is just the way the landscape is. But to the degree that you're willing to allow the enemy to pick the referee and you just go along with it saying, well, I guess they'll be all right. I guess they'll be fair. No, it's never fair. And if somebody wants to have George Stephanopoulos host the debate, then the answer is great. That's fine. We'll have Tucker Carlson host the next one. Mm. And off you go. So any closing thoughts on that in terms of what we can do to be beating cheating in the world today? We don't want to cheat ourselves, but at the same time, if we allow this cheating to go on completely unchecked, then the honest people lose.
Sure. And your basketball analogy is on point. Now, it may not register with me as well because, man, Bill, I am horrible at basketball, man. I'm telling you. I'll tell you what, man. Joe Biden falling up the stairs is flipping Gregory Hines compared to me playing basketball.
Yeah, okay, that's more graceful than I am too up there, definitely.
But so now Paul, man, the Apostle Paul warns us about this, man. He's lecturing. He's like, man, what are you sending your affairs to the godless for to make judgments over us? What are you doing? You know, when you don't have the godless, when you don't have people who have a reverence for God, when you don't have people who don't understand that we're made in this image and we have this love for each other, when you have these people who are obviously there because they're beset on their power and they want the power to be able to exercise their weaknesses over the temptations that they're weakness to, it ain't gonna go good. But you're letting the godless judge you. And they make judgments about what you're gonna be educated by, what you're gonna be indoctrinated by, what you're gonna be entertained by, what's gonna belong to them in terms of how they're gonna ration it out to the public and all this sort of stuff. So Paul is like, why are you letting the godless judge you? Basically, why are you letting them be the referees over your affairs or the arbiters over your affairs and stuff like that? And these, in order how we deal with this, Bill, there has to be a solid foundation, an eternal foundation of how we deal with these things, because anything else that we can come up with, Bill, is going to return to dust. It's going to be, at the end of the day, fallible. There has to be an eternal principle to be able to operate from. And we haven't come to an agreement on that. And therefore, it will always be built on sand and it will collapse. But you can see how people will be given over to obvious things, and they can't accept that they lost. You know, you could have Elijah say, look, man, go ahead and stack up your gods. What's your God doing, man? Is your God going to the, this Bible actually says, is your God taking a crap or something? Where is he? Go ahead and dig a moat. I want you to douse this whole thing with water and I will show you the power of God. God just comes in, just lights up everything. And lo and behold, not too long after, people are back to square one, as if they never saw anything. Jesus doing all the things that he did. And after they, after they punish him for doing all these wonderful things, they're like, hey, who do you want? Do you want Jesus or Barabbas? Give us Barabbas. It's like, are you serious? You know, so when we, and this whole thing was moderated by different people between the Sanhedrin, between the Greeks and between the Romans, the godless making moderations over these things, being the arbiters over these things, being the arbiter over God himself. Bill, as we're wondering in our human existence, we're wondering, I mean, who are we? We're wondering how we're letting these people do this, where God himself is like, look, man, I'm going to demonstrate to you what your natural inclinations are. I will let this experiment play out. I will be judged by the God, by the godless themselves. They will look the truth right in the eye. They will look at me. They will see me. They will demand this empirical evidence and they will see the truth and they will see love, a person who will die on the cross for my enemies, even for them. And they're going to give me the finger, right? As we will do to ourselves, those who are created in the image of God, we will give each other the finger and just say, hey, you know, we don't care what the truth is. We don't care how this justice actually played out. We want our own truth. We want our own justice, something that can never satisfy us.
Oh, that's true. And so to wrap this one up, the first thing that's needed is an unshakable faith, mm-hmm. that goodness will triumph over evil. If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't be here and you wouldn't be watching. I don't want to drive this completely, absolutely into the ground. But just to wrap this up, when I was a freshman in college, the University of Florida went 0-10. We didn't win a single game. But towards the end of the season, we were beating our arch rivals, Florida State, and looked like we were going to beat them. And as I recall, a Florida quarterback threw the ball, and it bounced off the turf into the arms of a Florida State defensiveman who ran it back, and they called it an interception. And then on the channel identification for the next year for WGVL in Gainesville, whatever it was, they just showed slow motion of the ball going boink, incomplete pass, into his arms, and so on. Now, the reason I bring this up is this. At the time, it was such a bitter loss and so unbearable. And somebody said, if your team hasn't won by more than one bad call, you know, that's football. Bad calls occasionally happen in football. The reason I bring this up is because that and the Olympics cheating and so on, there's a different reaction when it's close. And what I'm kind of circling around is this. If, as I said, the American team had been up 15 points at the end of that game, if the referee had tried to give the Soviets 17 free shots, people would have stormed out of the building, right? I mean, they would have stormed out of the building. It's almost like there's an outrage threshold where if you see a certain amount of like bad calls or cheating, you think, oh, yeah. But beyond a certain point, the fans will leave the building. And that's what we have to think about going forward. We have to realize that we are starting, and with the headwind we have against the media, that we are facing an enormous disadvantage by cheating opponents and cheating referees. So we have to win so spectacularly that no amount of bad calls can possibly change the outcome. And once you win, and this is the point, then you'd better clean out that referee system and you'd better start enforcing the rules on cheating, or else it's just a matter of time before this happens to you again. So there are ways out of all of these problems, and that's why we like doing this show and kind of dealing with situations that are, you know, a little more philosophical and kind of get to the heart of the matter. So this show is made possible by the members at BillWhittle.com, and on behalf of my friend Alfonso Rachel, I'm Bill Whittle. We'll see you next time here on The Virtue Signal.